Last month, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors appointed Rachel Mitchell to be the interim county attorney. Her predecessor, Alistair Adele, had resigned from the office and passed away soon after. Mitchell will have to run to keep the position later this year and fill the rest of Adele's term. Mitchell has served in the office for 3 decades, but is probably best known for being chosen by U.S. Senate Republicans to question Christine Blasey Ford during the confirmation hearings for then-Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. I spoke with Mitchell recently and began by asking about the staffing changes she'd implemented in the Maricopa County Attorney's Office.
One of the positions that I replaced was the chief deputy, so that's the second in command for the office. And I asked Paul Ehler to come back to the office. He had previously served as a chief deputy under most of Rick Romley's term of 16 years. He had been there for 12. So I want someone that can fill that job immediately, knows the job, doesn't need to be learning the job on the job, and somebody that I have known for years to make sound decisions. He has good judgment. He's worked for not only the Attorney General's office and our office, but also Yavapai and Pinal County attorneys.
This is not directly related to your office, but I wanted to ask it based on the Attorney General debate that Horizon hosted with the 6 GOP candidates for Attorney General. And at least several of them mentioned that maybe that office should be more politicized. Is it possible for an elected office like the one you're in to not be politicized? Can it be a group of people who really are just dedicated public servants doing their job? Or are we in a period where it's hard for this other stuff not to seep in?
You know, if you look at if you define politics as the, you know, apportionment of resources, there are always going to be politics. But in terms of the way it's conducted on a case-to-case basis, it should be as non-political as it can be. I mean, we need to look at each case individually and not take into account political ideology. And, you know, our job description, which I've always said is one of the best job descriptions in the world, is to do justice. And that is something that is nonpartisan.
After 8 years of not having an execution in Arizona, Clarence Dixon was put to death for murder. Realizing the law is that Arizona is a capital punishment state, there have been concerns over the years that with DNA, with technology advances, that there are concerns about capital punishment. Can I get your general thoughts about that and why Arizona should continue with it?
Well, because of the improvements, I think that that gives us greater certainty that we have the right person with, you know, for example, DNA. And one of the things that I look for in making my decision is the strength of the evidence.
With the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court leak that Roe v. Wade may be overturned, and obviously that has generated a lot of emotion on all sides of the issue. Your potential opponent on the Democratic side has talked about how she would not, at least at this point, she is saying she would not enforce this sort of ban. May I ask how you'd handle that going forward?
When you are sworn in as county attorney, as I was, you take an oath to uphold the laws of the state of Arizona, as well as the Constitution and Constitution of the United States. And you don't get to pick and choose. If you want to make policy decisions, which is a worthy goal, then you should be running for either the legislature or the governor's office.
Is this an office that you had ever considered running for before? And if not, why now?
I put my name in the hat 2 years ago when Bill Montgomery went up to the Arizona Supreme Court. I don't see myself really as a politician. I see myself as a career prosecutor. But when I saw some things that needed to be fixed about this office that I thought could make it better, that's when I started thinking about it. And certainly that's even more heightened now because of the things that have taken place recently. And, you know, I have always, in my career in this office, have known it to be an office that can help people, can get justice for people, can comfort victims. And that's not how it's being portrayed. And I'm not saying the portrayal is, you know, necessarily unfair, but that's not how people on the outside are seeing this office. They're seeing it as something that is unfair. As somebody who is committed to this office for my whole career, almost 30 years now, I want to fix that perception so that people understand what we're all about and what we're capable of.
knowing we're not going to change election law during this conversation, obviously, does it make sense for an office as important as this one, which deals with such vital and sensitive issues? In a perfect world, would this be a job where someone works her way up as opposed to having to run for office?
I think giving people power to speak about who is running such an important office is important. So I certainly wouldn't take that power away from the voters. But that said, I do think it's important that there be oversight. And one of the things I'm actually doing is looking at the policies in our office that allow the senior management team to have greater oversight over the elected county attorney or appointed county attorney. As you know, I was one of the five division chiefs who wrote a letter asking the previous county attorney to step down. And there was a policy that applied to that and gave us some protection and guidance, but we found that it was not robust enough. And so what I have done is I've asked those division chiefs that remain to look at it and to revise it. And then I've also sought outside counsel, ethics counsel, and want them to look at it as well, so that we keep the power with the voters, but then there is accountability within the county attorney's office. So should something happen again, and realizing that that's oversight of me, and I'm willing to submit to that.
You became much more known on the national level, certainly, with your involvement with the U.S. Senate Republicans in the hearing to confirm then-Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. That has certainly become an even more controversial situation, considering the possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned. Take us back to that point and this age of political polarization. Was it something you were glad you did? How did it affect your life afterwards?
Obviously, people were on both sides of this issue. And certainly there were people who liked what I did and people who didn't like what I did. But I think it's important to understand why I did what I did. I think people were either expecting a trial, you know, a bulldog, or they were expecting somebody to just walk in and say, you know, she's telling the truth. Neither is appropriate or possible. What I was focused on was what I focused on my whole career in as a sex crimes prosecutor, which, of course, you know, I've done 25 of those 30 years. Mm-hmm. And that is to ask the person who is making the allegations responsible questions that are researched, backed the way I questioned her, in a respectful manner. And I thought that was a great opportunity when I was in law school, is when the Clarence Thomas hearings occurred with the questioning of Anita Hill. And regardless of which side people come down on that, whether they believe her or they believe him, the questioning was not as it should have been. And so I saw this as a great opportunity.
That is interim Maricopa County Attorney Rachel Mitchell. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.